You do have a sultry little boy voice.
I think so too. I think so too.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Welcome to After the Rose podcast. It's me, Megan Cruz.
And me, Molly Leach.
Dorothy is on an extended sabbatical.
Dorothy's in heat.
How is she handling the heat out here, by the way?
She's ravenous for men. Like, she's just, She takes a lot of naps, but she's been very vocal with, like, her wants and needs. She's been very, like she's always been very silent as a dog, but she's developed this new behavior of, like, when you stop petting her, going, like, like, oh, I'm adorable.
I feel like that's what I do, generally.
Yeah, it's like she's learned a new life skill, and I'm just like, fuck.
Sucks. Do you know that that is one of our markers of empathy is of evolution is evolving like empathy by looking cuter so people want to take you.
Oh, totally.
Well, I'm mixing it all up, but yeah, that's why cuteness is valued is because it makes people want to take care of you.
Yeah, and the domestication of dogs, what that did was it put them in like a permanent puppy state. Like their ears no longer become pointed and like they don't develop like that, like, you know, violent aggression that is indicative of wolves. So my 9-year-old dog, which has had many litters in her life, is just like a baby, like an adorable baby. They're just like,
oh. What if in a surprise twist, we just suddenly were science podcasters, but it was like just vague, inarticulate.
This week on Science Friday, the science of dogs.
But
no,
the science of the Bachelorette. Yeah. And it has been quite the week. We've both been gone. We're back in Seattle now. We're podcasting a little late because
it's our nation's Independence Day.
It is. It's July 4th. And what is more patriotic than
an ethnic meal?
Oh no!
Megan,
I was talking about
me.
The Bachelorette, but we did just finish what you could call essentially a one-on-one date.
Yeah.
But Molly tried to dom me into like. I was like, come over, I'll make you lunch. She was like, meet me downstairs with an apron on and a drink in your hand.
She didn't either, but she's still really pleased with herself.
Because
she, like, wore a pretty maxi dress. She looks like Jennifer Lopez from The Girl Next Door.
Oh, thanks, Molly.
The Boy Next Door.
I am wearing this maxi dress that, like, I have been forbidden to wear by some people and then others like it. I love it, but it's true that John Oliver did recently say that a maxi dress looked like a poncho fucked a waterfall.
A poncho fucked a waterfall,
but
I feel like
my style is, like, on point today. Like, I've got the super high Astronaut Wives Club pony. I've got my
Don't talk about that show to me.
I've got my new MAC lipstick that's worn off from our...
Yeah.
We had a fake
She's in
ramen.
Full makeup for our podcast.
Always.
Yeah, that's true. Pretty much always. I've always liked that necklace. She's got, like, a cool gold necklace on. Looking good.
It's, like, rampantly fishing. Like, how do you like my hair, Molly?
Megan looks great from head to toe.
So do you. We should trade dresses sometime.
I'm just wearing, like, this dress that I bought at Old Navy, like, 5 years ago. It's great because, like, I used to be a lot thinner, but, like, the dress just moves with you.
That's how I felt about the maxi dress.
Yeah.
Just so much fabric I've swaddled in. But yeah, so it's
a couple of 30s girls drinking wine in the afternoon, talking about The Bachelor. It's not a joke. That's literally what we're doing.
And we both had kind of crazy weeks. I just spent the week on Whidbey Island with two of my really good friends, Jeff and Aileen, and we wrote for a week, and I mean, also just kind of raged. But I was so impressed with myself because I was like, you know, there was a television in the cabin, but I wasn't getting any channels, and I was ready to be all remorseful, and Aileen suggested that we go to town and get Moe's Tavern to put it on. So we, in fact, watched The Bachelorette in Moe's Tavern in Langley, Washington, with a motley crowd of gentlemen of all ages who are around the bar sort of, like, grumbling and being like, I don't know what show this is. Like, but, you know, they did. And then others would get really... would, like, over-identify in this almost painful way. Like, when Chris Cupcake started crying, He was like, don't do that, man. She's never going to love you if you're going to do that. They right? don't like that. Girls don't like that. Like,
this is why The Bachelor is such a good show. You watch it. Everybody thinks, oh, no, not for me. I'm cool. And then you watch it for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and it immediately sucks you in with its, like, vapid relatability.
Yeah.
You know? It's just, these are just people having relationships, and they're doing it in the most simple language and terms imaginable so that we can all relate to it.
And then, before we get to your, well, no, you, why don't you talk about your week, and then I'll talk about the icing on the proverbial cake.
Yeah, okay, I can't wait for, I'm pretty sure I know what it is. Yeah?
It's a perfect something.
Okay. Well, I spent the week in Missoula, Montana, where we went to grad school on vacation. It was just, like, this picture-perfect, idyllic, beautiful vacation. It was 100 degrees every day, but me and my fella, we went there. We floated the river every day. I watched it at a Motel 6, which is interesting because I watched our very episode 0 re-recorded when I was in a Motel 6 in Portland. Portland didn't
Wait,
work out.
Wait, you watched it?
No, we recorded episode right. 0 when I was in a Motel 6.
Oh, God, yeah.
Motel 6s are the best because they take dogs, man. Dorothy is welcome everywhere at a Motel 6. So, and the Motel 6s in Missoula, Montana are way better than in Portland. They have, like, a full tub. Like, ooh. People are nice to you. They have free Wi-Fi.
That was also... What motel doesn't have free Wi-Fi?
The Motel 6, they make you pay $3. In Portland, they make you pay $3 for shitty Wi-Fi. They're... And a nickel and diamond, yeah. But I watched it. Tim, my fella, he's a sports blogger, and he was working during the day, and I was like, do you want me to watch The Bachelorette with or without headphones on? And he was like, with, please. I was like, ah. I was so disappointed.
Oh, my gosh. I watched it.
Yeah, tell me. Your story is way better. I mean, oh. Oh, you just told it.
No, I was going to say that I watched it, like, a few weeks back. I watched it with my date with Ty and it was amazing because I watched the moment where he turned the corner and became a member of Bachelor Nation, like, where his investment became pure, you know, where he like Jared, was that his name? Jared came on the screen, and I think, like, he kind of over-identifies with Jared for some reason, so he becomes, like, violently angry when, like, you know, and it was the moment where somebody goes from scorning to, like, ironic investment, but investment nonetheless, and it made me so happy. But
man, sometimes I think I've gotten Tim, but then it's, like...
He watched with us. Like,
watched before, and I mean, like, when he's watching, he's into it, but... He doesn't, that interest does not become renewed week to week. I can't get him to, yeah. I mean, I'll keep trying. I don't know. I have some ideas for the Mental All episode for what we can do for the podcast, but we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
I mean, I assume it's in a few weeks because we're wrapping it up here.
I want to talk to you about the potential of us going on a Chris and Desiree finding mission and reporting back.
Okay.
Just put that in your... Tuck that in your hat.
Do you know anything? Do you know what neighborhood they live in or anything like that?
No.
How we could find out?
That's all part of the...
Okay, got it.
I'm a detective.
All right. We'll use our writing chops.
Anyway, the one other thing I was going to say is, well, I was at Moe's Tavern on Woodby Island, which, God, I really want to go back there, like, now. but I, you know, had a few drinks, and I decided that it was time to purchase The Perfect Letter, a novel by Chris Harrison, renowned love expert and host of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, which is a must read for Bachelor fans and hopeless romantics everywhere.
Were you reading that off of the inside cover?
Yeah. Which it's interesting too. I also I'm just gonna like air my dirty laundry. I also bought the new 50 Shades of Grey book, which is just a redux of the original 50 Shades of Grey book from a different character's perspective. So I was thinking that, like, what I can do next for my next book is just pick side characters and just rewrite the book.
Oh, remix. Call me home, remix.
CMH.
Reboot.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, so the interesting thing about The Perfect Letter, first of all...
is that it costs $23.99.
And I wanted to get the soft cover, but the paperback, but it doesn't come out until February of 2016, and I don't trust that my investment will last.
This
that
guy
long.
Has made more money than all of our very talented friends combined. in like nine minutes, for sure.
And reading it, like, first of all, I'm really excited because it's set in Austin, and there are things like the Austin Writers Conference, which I've actually, I think, been to, at least the Austin Library Conference or whatever, but I'm excited about that. Also, it looks like it's just a ripoff of the movie Sweet Home Alabama and that plotline, like, wherein she tries to leave behind her country past and goes and starts a new successful future, and then, like, but she's pulled back by her old flame.
Is that the movie where she says, "You have a baby in a bar"? Or is that a different movie? Because I've always liked that line. She goes into a bar, and the woman is like, "Oh, look at you dressed all fancy." And she's holding a baby, and she's like, "Look at you. You have a baby in a bar." Maybe. It must be Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah, it's the one where, like, her... It's not Matthew McConaughey. It's, like, Josh Lucas, like, or something.
Matthew McConaughey light.
Yeah.
And then Patrick Dempsey is the is the rich guy that is
Yeah,
proposing.
Which, look at this. It's exactly...
Let me lose this paragraph.
Okay, no, it's exactly like that. For the most part, she'd succeeded in building a life for herself in New York City, far from the hay-filled barns and the horse farm in Texas, happy even with the future she was building with this brilliant, generous man. But then she...
Well, there's only 13 original stories, right? Every one out of 13 books are Sweet Home Alabama.
And if he starts making sculptures with lightning on the beach, though, oh no.
Can I read this paragraph that I just picked at random? It's actually, like, not the worst. I mean, we'll see. I don't know. I don't want to speak
Well, you
soon.
Read it. I'm going to get a glass of water because it's so... Okay. We're trying to avoid ambient noise and it's
Beat
so hot.
Beat the heat without a fan. Her face burned because she had been thinking about him all day. About how much she hated him. About all the ways she wanted to humiliate him. Pay him back for humiliating her. I think I picked up the 50 Shades of Grey on accident, Megan. And that was...
Hilarious.
And that was the point she realized. He wanted her to hate him. He wanted her to think about him, to insinuate himself into her head, because to a man like him, hatred was the most powerful aphrodisiac. It's getting a little saucy, a little sultry.
50 Shades of Grey. Ha ha, Molly. Ha ha.
I really liked the movie. But, I mean, these books... All right, so, I mean, you read it, and we'll see. Okay. I don't think I'm gonna, like... Life's too short, Megan. That's why I don't read books like this. Like, I haven't finished Infinite Jest yet. How the fuck am I going to read 50 Shades of Grey? I feel like an asshole.
Oh, but there's... I mean, they're two completely separate... Reading this to me is the same as watching The Bachelorette. It's a similar feeling.
Yeah. What garbage do I like to read? The internet? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is exactly the same kind of pursuit, where I wouldn't read Infinite Jest if I was, instead of reading this, like, I would watch crappy TV instead of reading this,
you know what I mean?
So
it's almost like at least they're reading.
Yeah.
We need to practice our reading. Like, like, we don't know how to read yet, so at least we're reading.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, lordy.
I'm just not interested in elitism when it comes to... Words like
I am.
I like it all. I like it all across the board. I like it every way.
Uh-huh.
I feel like that was an entree for a sexual joke, but I'm not even more mature than that. But
have you checked out my fellow's gay pirate erotica series? It's available on Kindle.
Tim's?
Yeah.
You never told me about it.
It's not true.
Oh, okay.
I mean, sort of, but, like, it's not available on Kindle.
Wait, does he really do it?
He was working on something like that, like, a year ago, but, I forget, he hit some bumps in the road.
Oh.
I don't know.
I told you when I did the pay-to-play erotica writing business,
How did that
right?
go?
Not so well.
Yeah, I think he found that it was not lucrative.
Yeah, I had one great experience, and then the rest was like somebody who just wanted to tell me their toilet fantasies, and I wrote a little ditty called "Toilet Slut." That was my last paid project. But let's get back on track. I totally pulled us off.
We have not talked about the show yet. So the show begins with the cliffhanger from last week was Sean coming up to Caitlin's hotel and confronting her about his feelings, and Caitlin is so nervous that he's gonna ask about Nick and her sexual escapades with Nick. But that's not it. He's just having garden variety concerns about being on the show and feeling jealous. And you know, their relationship.
Yeah, he wants to be, I mean, this is, sometimes these men combust, right? Because they want to be the one and they're not used to having to.
They're like, I don't want to watch you go on dates with other men.
Yeah.
I'm your boyfriend.
Which I feel like with, well, although Britt was very much like that.
Chris Britt had the season, same meltdown, yeah.
But most, I think it's more common on The Bachelor than The Bachelorette. So,
I think you're right.
Yeah. But Britt had that very much, which, speaking of which, word on the street is that maybe she and Brady are not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They didn't do any sort of update this episode.
No,
didn't they?
But I bought a Life and Style magazine. Oh. Sorry, Molly.
Okay, I mean, like, if it's out there, it's out there.
Yeah.
So they broke up, or you're not sure?
That they're not going to work out. I don't. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. It can't be that easy. But
I mean, TV romance has the best shot as any romance. So yeah, Caitlin. I'm very excited about the direction that the show has taken. If you remember at the end of last episode, I was very sort of despondent about, I felt like it was a Nick runaway and I was pretty depressed. I was like, what are we going to do for the next several episodes? And I think that maybe the producers of The Bachelorette have heard my concerns and are like turning this horse around, man.
Yeah.
Because Caitlin's narrative for this whole episode was like, I just want to make it clear that just because I fucked Nick doesn't mean that I'm not giving all these other relationships equal shrift. Like, I am just like, I'm into all these men equally. I have connections with all of them. Like, let's not belabor the Nick thing. And she feels a lot of regret for leading Sean on. Like, you want to talk more about that, Megan? Like,
Well, I think I'm not sure if this is what you're referring to, but I'm really curious about this idea that, you know, we find out later that they had all this time alone, which is it kind of pissed me off in this way, because it's like, those are the parts that would make the show interesting. Like, it irritates me that they're not part of it, you know? Like,
I always think that the show feels the same way about it, because from what I've heard from the behind the scenes is that you cannot get away from the cameras when you're on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
That they're, like, everywhere. They're, like, hiding in the bushes and stuff. So this time that they had together was sort of, like, stolen time.
Oh, so you don't think it was filmed and they chose to leave it off?
I don't think that, no. I think that it was off-camera time. And, I mean, contrasted with the off-camera time that Caitlin had with Nick, which was clearly
yeah.
I mean, it was off-camera, but, like, the camera was filming the door while they were boning, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so it was, it's
you could
not
hear,
the same.
Like, you could hear.
Yeah, they're, like, mic'd.
I know!
Kind of fucked up. I can feel you. Come closer. Like, as much as you can get for a PG show.
Right, exactly.
A little bit of though.
But yeah, so there's all this. Caitlin is becoming increasingly paranoid that everybody knows that she boned Nick. But, like, I don't know. It's frustrating because I don't feel like it should be that big of a deal. Like, but
it is. It is. They don't see it coming, man. Everybody knows that the structure of the show is such that that's not, like, you. Every man on that show should presume that she hasn't slept with other people. You know what I mean? That's always the way it's been, because that happens in the fantasy suite. So the fact that she has is a secret, you know? I mean, I agree that, like, it's been built up too much, and, like, maybe she doesn't need to, like, have this dramatic coming out about it, which is, will inevitably happen
which
next
she's moving
episode.
Towards. And there's, I mean, I think there's been, over the last couple seasons, it seems like there's been a general decline in the, like, house rules in terms of things like this, because, like, on Chris's season, remember at the beginning when they were, like, they're like, new rule,
all
you
access.
Can enter his, like, house anytime you want, like,
it's
any
almost
hour
like they
the
were
day.
Trying to get them to bone early, and
yeah.
Chris was like, I don't get it.
Chris was like, I'm not just gonna lazily kiss another lady. Like,
yeah.
It was like a St. Bernard that, like...
I can't believe you want Ben Z to be the next Bachelor. I feel like he'd be the same. I think it'd be more of the same, just more, like, dummy.
I don't think...
Academy.
Want Ben Z. I liked Ben Z, but then he totally, like... He, like, peed his pants for me in the sense that, like, he became... He just became sort of vapid and one-dimensional, and he kept falling back on...
Always he's been this way, I feel.
But
Remind me of the time he had great range and depth.
In your mind. I feel like he showed some real strong... It's a real strong figure in that escape room.
It's true that he has big muscles and he looks like a gorilla in a suit.
Yeah.
It looks like when NFL players like wear suits and do commentary in the booth, like they're like, I put on a suit. You're gonna like bust out of it like at any moment. Like,
you're just like a Hulk thing. Yeah. Yeah, no, but
Shaquille O'Neal in a suit.
My thought is that and spoiler, he gets eliminated, which we'll talk about in a minute. But my thought about Ben Z is that like, I noticed on Twitter, like, after his elimination, it was just, like, hundreds of texts being, like, Ben Z, baby, come this way, like, you know, like, and everyone wanting him to be the next Bachelor, and I think that his one-dimensionalness might, like, help him, because he's, like, has equal opportunity appeal, and people may think he has greater depth than he does.
Well, I mean, I think we've proven with Chris Farmer that the show can still be successful even if you have a complete dud and loser as the Bachelor. So, I mean, like, he would be fine. But, I mean, Juan Pablo, is that his name? Am I saying it right this time?
I think so.
The Brazilian soccer star. I didn't watch it either because when I saw that he was announced, I was like, that guy's a dud and he's one-dimensional and he's lame. But I heard that it was actually a really great season, that it was really, like, salacious and, like, interesting and, like, the women were catty and crazy. And
I also think that, like, having a dud as a Bachelor or Bachelorette
but he became
kind of increases the viewing pleasure.
It could be. I mean, you're right. I mean, like I say, I had heard that it was a really good season, but he was a villain by the end. Like, by the end, the women in the audience are like not rooting for the Bachelor, and I just think that that's wrong.
Yeah.
I feel like we should want him, you know. But anyway, we don't know who the next Bachelor is going to be. Let's get back to.
So there was a 2-on-1 date, Joe and JJ, and
so Joe is the aw shucks, like moonshine, like Kentucky accent,
big forehead. He's real sweet, but he's not gonna win. I mean, he's not gonna make it much farther, I don't think. But.
Yeah, on the 2-on-1, he pulls her away and is like, I'm falling in love with you. And she's like, I saw a side of him I've never seen before.
Like, yeah, I just feel like he's been friend-zoned. He was friend-zoned pretty early, around the time when he wouldn't, like, tuck his ball back into his sumo diaper belt. Like, and everyone was like, Joe, like, tuck your ball in. And he just, like, wouldn't do it. And I was like, it's that...
That was
know.
The kiss of death.
Yeah, it was the, like, this move. It's
the ball,
like,
heard around the world.
Yeah. Just, like, show a little bit of humility, you know, like, of, like, self-consciousness.
She's going to cite that when she doesn't give him a rose.
Just can't get the ball out of my head.
Sorry.
But seriously, though, like, you don't want to be with somebody who's, like, going to wander down the street with, like, their wiener hanging out.
That's true. That's not what I wanted.
Like, when you saw that guy, like, flash you up on the hill.
Oh,
and
I was so mad.
So angry. Like, you were like...
Okay, you guys, I hadn't had sex in like 3-4 months or something like that. It had been a particular dry spell for me.
The story kills me.
And this guy is walking down the street with what I thought was his dick hanging out, like, out of his zipper. And I was just like, what the? Like, I get to choose what penis I see. Like, I don't want it to be some random Yahoo. That was the first penis I'd seen in months. I don't even know that guy. He was probably drunk. I mean, like, usually when I sleep with men, they're drunk, but, like, I still choose them.
You were so angry.
I
like,
so
I've never seen you that angry.
But then didn't it turn out that it was, like, a carrot or something? Like, we got closer.
So.
I thought that when we got closer,
no,
it was revealed
it was
that it was...
real. I think it was a real penis.
Well, I've rewritten the memory so that it's a carrot. It was, like, a
just
innocent
carrot.
Just like
it's a self-protection move for you, you're like, it was a carrot.
It's funnier when you get closer and it's that it's a carrot.
Oh my god.
A silly guy. Like, before he was a, you know, like a sexual predator. Now he's just a funny guy.
Just a vegetarian. Like, just a health nut.
Yeah, he's like, oh, vegan.
Oh, health nut. Get it? Back to Joe's ball.
Yep, because that's another word for penis.
Anyway, so yeah, I think Joe's doomed. But he did stay through this date, whereas Kaylin lets JJ go. Right in the middle.
Citing the whole you have a kid at home thing. It's like, if that were the case, then why didn't you eliminate him week one? Like,
right.
Whatever.
It made me happy to see him go because he had this kind of false confidence that was...
He was full of shit.
Yeah. And it spoke to being sort of pathetic, but I wanted him to, like, knock himself down a peg and understand the value of self-deprecation and not you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, so there's that, and then Joe gets a rose, so he gets to stick around. And then we have this sort of confrontation between Ben H., who you like, I think is too young, but...
Is he, how old is she, do you remember?
No, I could Google it.
Please Google it, because one thing that I thought while watching this episode that I hadn't really thought... so concretely before was that she looks very young to me. Like when she cries. Yeah, I start to see it in her face. She looks like I can imagine what she looked like when she was 15 and what she looked like when she was like 8, you know? I bet she was just like adorable and like took a lot of dance classes and just like, you know, ran around her living room in like socks and she was like, "Ah, yay!" Like, "A little kid." It just seems like it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. I could see that.
She has a very like
She's 29.
Yeah.
So. And Chris is 26. Ben is 26.
Ben H. I don't know what it is about Ben H. that makes me like him now. I think it was something about the way that he seemed very strong and confident. Like, he was acting like he was the man that was going to marry her. And he was, like, sort of, like, gently admonishing her for her behavior. For making him feel, for, like, not even admonishing, but just, like... being, like, clear with his feelings in this way of, like, look, we're gonna get married, so I just want to be clear on the fact that, like, what you did. Because he's talking about the fact that Caitlin came down and took Sean away and, like, reassured Sean of their relationship, and that Ben H. noticed that there was something different, and it was the first time he'd ever seen her have a connection with another man, and it made him feel a certain way. I just felt like he was very sexy and strong, and I liked the way his face was so intent when he was telling her.
Yeah.
I just felt like he could, like, take care of me and, like, whisk me away from these, like, knobs, like, these other men that, like, weren't that cool.
Yeah, I could see that. I could totally, like... As you're saying that, I just got this, like, weird feeling of, like, romantic warmth. Like,
right? Because of my gentle retelling. But
yeah, but at the same time, I think one of the things that has bothered me is, like, we have not seen a very strong connection between him and Caitlin.
That's true.
And he keeps calling her his girlfriend.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Which is interesting.
That is weird. I think that he's, like, using the secret or something. He's, like, asking it as given, like...
Oh, that's a...
Maybe. But usually when men do that on the show...
Don't get me started on the secret. I get so angry thinking about that.
Oh, man. I get everything I want whenever I think about it.
Like, stop it, Molly.
I just manifested a ham sandwich. While we were talking, I was like, I want one. Here it is.
I don't know who that is. I don't know why they'd be in my house.
Well, I think they're just believing something.
You go ahead and you keep talking. I'm going to... Oh, no.
Okay. I think she left something on your porch. We'll check it out.
Maybe it's gift from a secret admirer.
It's probably like a flyer for like roofing or something.
Thanks.
You can't walk away, Megan. I'm going to freak out like Garth in Mean Girls. Like, my head's going to explode if you walk out of the room again. I almost died before.
So Molly's now team Ben H.
Mm-hmm.
I
who's your first choice, man?
Sean.
Sean?
I think it's gonna be Sean. I think that in the same way, I think he is both strong, but he is emotionally, like, he has made it clear that he cares so much about her that he
I think
will walk rather than be made a fool of, you know.
I think that she kind of decided that she doesn't like him anymore the moment that he kind of lost it. Because she was like, I never envisioned that we would have problems in our relationship, and here we are, like, hitting this speed bump. And I feel like she is kind of over it. I think that the spell is broken for her. She keeps talking about how she regrets, like, giving him so much reassurance because she wants to give these other relationships equal weight. And I think that that's her way of saying, like, over it, and she's going to eliminate him next week.
Okay. That's your prediction. I have a different thought. I feel like Nick is going to go, and I think... I mean, although it would be a major emotional blow to her. I could see that being a problem. But she brings up to him, she sits Nick down and basically is like, hey, I need you to be respectful about what you tell people. Just because, basically, she confesses to her paranoia about him telling everyone that they slept together. And he immediately, it's like you see these moments where he has a lot of anger under the surface and he could be a real
He becomes very dickbag. Defensive.
Yeah, like he, you know, he got very defensive. He got very, I just, he scares me. Like, I think he could be super, like,
And I think that they could do some Daily Show, like, editing callbacks later, because in that conversation, he says, I never use the words romantic, I never use the words passionate to describe our date, I told them they always want details, and I told them the bare-bones things, and if anybody says any different, then I have a real issue. And it's like, he completely used the words romantic and passionate to describe his date, like, specifically, so it's very strange. And I don't know, I don't think that time of reckoning is going to come soon enough for him to be eliminated next week.
Yeah. It may come. I wonder if, I guess my new prediction is that we will end up with a Sean, Jared, Nick, denouement or climax where, like, I don't think Ben H is going to make it on this, but I think
Ben H is a dark horse for sure. Yeah. My prediction that Ben H is going to be one of the final three is sort of like my wild card. I think Nick, Sean, Jared is probably the safe bet.
Yeah, that's a safe bet in my mind. And I think that my hope is that Nick's darker tendencies come out enough before the end to sway her towards someone else. Even Patches, even Jared, who I don't really like, but I think he's a really good guy, you know. I just don't like him because he bugs me to look at, but...
It's basically like he never recovered for me after that love man thing that he did at the beginning.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm like a superhero for love. It's like, that's the corniest shit I've ever seen.
And when he tried to pretend he knew and loved the cranberries, but had clearly never heard them before.
It's ridiculous.
But, yeah, I think that... I just look at that scene where Caitlin is like, hey, don't tell the guys we fucked. And how easily Nick could have been like, could have pulled a Ben H and been like, of course, like, this is between us.
Yeah, just said and done the right thing.
He could, he looks like a little baby.
He became quite defensive.
Yeah. So, then after that, there was a rose ceremony, right?
Yep.
We lose Ben Z because he had proved himself to be, you know, the only thing she could say about him was like, oh, he's so sweet, like a big teddy bear. Yeah. You know, and you're like, ah. But, there was him, and then Tanner, who I don't think ever really got
Has always been, like, a hilarious throwaway that everyone has acknowledged is just there because, like, he's uncontroversial.
Yeah. And then, where were we there?
Well, so after the rose ceremony, Chris Harrison comes around and reveals the new structure of the show.
Right, which is really interesting. It's like... The new one is like, I need to bone you before I meet your parents.
Yeah, historically it's always been the case. And this is a very traditional construction, and I think it's high time for a change. I wonder if they might be case-by-case basis. But, usually the way it goes is after this episode, she would pare it down to four, and then she would go and meet all of their families, which is like an excruciating and lengthy process, I'm sure. And then after that, she eliminates one, and then three of them go to the fantasy suite, and then there's two, and then one. So now, Chris Harrison is like, you've sullied the grand tradition of this show. You've taken a little bit too much off-camera time, and we didn't sanction that, so now it's done. What's done is done, you harlot of the night. But, so now that you've proven that, sex is more important to you than family, what we're going to do is she has to, what do you need?
I just need your camera.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Oh, you're going to use it for your, she's taking out her contacts.
I'm having this, I realize what it is that it is so hot here that I keep, like, sweating and my contacts get dirty.
The fans, like, fuck up my contacts and it hurts my eyeballs, but... And I slept in them last night because I had too much water before bed.
But I like how you keep trying to use that as our code word.
One of my favorite podcasts on the internet, We Hate Movies, they use the word, like, drinking a lot of water as a euphemism for every vice. Like, oh, we drank a lot of water.
Aww. You mean they use it for, like, heroin, too? Or, like...
I think just weed and alcohol.
Okay.
Yeah. They're pretty productive. Like, yeah. We had so much water last night, we were just like, spaced out for days. Nigel puked
all
in
the
a
furniture.
A bucket, yeah.
We got some more water.
Really good t-shirt ideas on our meth water Tim just texted me a picture of my dog, and it says, dreaming of you.
Oh.
She's watching my dog, because my dog isn't allowed at this house, because people are allergic to animals here.
Oh.
Yeah. Isn't she sweet?
She is sweet.
She's not humping his leg at the moment. She never does that. She just stares at him longingly, like, and wants her to pet him all the time.
Oh, I'm gonna need it one more time. That camera.
Okay.
Okay. Back to business. Like, you guys have heard a little too much of my personal, like, hygiene things happening.
Everyone's riveted by the taking out the contact. What will happen?
Which contact would you choose?
Which contact will get eliminated? Both of them.
Both of them, and then reinstated after being drenched.
After hydration.
So I think the interesting thing about the premise, regardless of it seeming like this like scolding thing, is that it does more. I mean, would you ever meet someone's family without sleeping with them first?
No, I have never done that unless it was like on accident.
Or yeah, or like yeah, a whole unless it was circumstantial.
I don't kiss a guy unless we've boned a couple of times. I feel like it's too really? Like I'm like Pretty Woman. I don't kiss on the mouth.
You're lying.
Of course I'm lying. No.
I was like, wow. Wally, how Jesus. Has this never come up?
No.
You know, we know all of each other's secrets.
I love kissing. That's my favorite. I've been with guys that don't kiss, and it's like, oh, all right, well.
I couldn't be with someone who didn't kiss.
It's kind of the worst, because, like, you're not turned on until, like halfway through the act, because you've had no warm-up. Like, yeah. It's just like, and then it's over, and you're like, oh, well, maybe me next time. Like, I don't know. That's what happens when you date a guy that doesn't kiss.
Oh, God.
Named Jesse. He's like, I don't kiss.
Oh my gosh, that's so crazy. Even in the biz, I kissed.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta.
Anyway, we'll leave it at that. That's a whole other podcast. Getting bold.
This is some teaching. Even in teaching, I give him a little kiss before the class starts.
Anyway. Okay, so we now have, who we have left? We have Ben H., Jared, Joe, Nick, Sean, and Cupcake. Jared goes on a 101 with Caitlin. I knew the Blarney Stone would come in. I knew it. P.S. So, Ty has this friend who, like, long, complicated, convoluted thing, but they, a couple who happened to be in that hotel when they were filming.
Shut up.
They were, like, the next room over. But then they put these, like, douchey posts on Facebook. I don't know them. They're wonderful people, I'm sure. But, like, they put these posts up that were, like, we're watching tonight because we had to because we saw him crying out in the hallway. And I was, like, just enjoy it. Like, you know, like.
Really cool. Yeah. Oh, Megan, that reminds me. When I was in Missoula, Montana, apparently Leonardo DiCaprio and Tobey Maguire were in Missoula, Montana that same weekend. And, like,
together?
Yeah, they were, like, there vacationing incognito. Like, I saw there was a lot of stuff on Twitter, like, Missoula Twitter people, like, people that had, like, snapped a shot of them. Like, Leo's in, like, a full beard and, like, a baseball cap and, like, the sunglasses. He's like, I'm not a celebrity. But, like, the reason I know is because of I went to the break, that coffee house, and I was...
You mean the one where we spent...
Many a moon.
And Alice Bolin probably clocked, like...
Yeah, she worked a lot.
She worked real hard. Yeah, she had a better work ethic than us, but I just remember her always being at the break.
It was great, but it was not air-conditioned, so it was kind of hot in there. But, so we went in, and I was wearing my, like, Titanic t-shirt that, like, I just own. And, and it has a picture of Leo and Kate Winslet, like, in black and white, like, silhouette, like, embracing, like, on the front. And the guy at the break was like, did you know that Leonardo DiCaprio was just in here? And I was like, when? Because when I, like, did I tell this before about Johnny Depp being at the Whitefish on the podcast?
I don't think
so. I was at a restaurant in Whitefish, Montana, where the Bachelorette had, or the Bachelor had visited, and they were like, oh my god, you guys, Johnny Depp was just here, and I was like, when, just now? And they were like, a month ago! So when he said Leonardo DiCaprio was just here, I was like, when? And he was like, oh, you know, like, 15 minutes ago, and I was like, oh, and he was like, well, I just mentioned it because of your shirt, you know? And I was like, oh, yeah. And then the other girl was like, did you wear that because of Leo? And I was like, no, this is just
how I dress.
Like, this is just I'm actually I am breathlessly relieved that you didn't run into him wearing this shirt, because somehow that seems
Oh, it would have been so fucking weird. Yeah, we talked about that at length, me and the baristas at the break, because it was like, yeah, no, like, what would I do?
You would be, like, one of the people who went on the New Kids on the Block, like...
Like, some freak that just follows him around.
And they're like, they can't get past the original hook that I'd got have been them. Like,
Leo, just so you know, this was at Goodwill for $2. It's a Titanic in 3D commemorative t-shirt that was clearly given to someone and then given away in Seattle, and I just couldn't afford not to buy it. And I do really appreciate your work, but I don't feel that way about it anymore.
And he would look at you and be like, I just feel like by the time you finished your speech, you would have backed slowly.
How many times do you think I saw Titanic in theaters, Megan?
Like 13. Five
full times. And I don't think I could drive at that point.
I only saw one.
I think my mom had to drive me to the theater every time.
Oh my god.
I worked at that theater. I don't think I worked at that theater when I saw Titanic five times. I think I've paid full price. I mean, I was 15. What the fuck are you going to do with your time? Like, every weekend it was like, well, let's go see Titanic. Anyway, I didn't run into Leo. I was pretty disappointed. You're
like,
hold it.
Like, you reach into your shirt and pull out, like, the jewel of the sea.
The 15-year-old me would have lost her mind if she found out that I was minutes away from Leo. Oh my god.
I like how he looks all rough these days.
Yeah, he didn't age well.
No, I like that though.
I mean, oh my god. One of my all-time favorite sex scenes in a movie is from The Departed with Leonardo DiCaprio and,
I never saw that one.
I forget the girl's name. She's a good actress, but I forget her name. The lead woman in The Departed, like, because it's like an affair. You know, uh-huh. They're not supposed to be doing this, and it's just so hot. And, there's an old, Pink Floyd song playing. It's just like, it's
you know what movie I loved? Shutter Island.
I really like that movie too.
We need to go back to like watching psychological dramas and stuff together.
Yeah, and some more girl films as well.
Yeah,
like I need
like
to
that day that I came over and we like laid in your bed and watched that Stephen King movie with like
A Good Marriage. That movie's a piece of garbage. I really
it was
like
a terrible movie, but I had like the greatest day of my life. I was like when I was at the cabin, we kept every night we would my friend Jeff would play music and like we'd sing like John Prine and. You know, we'd do a few random. I'd be like, play Wagon Wheel Again. Like, you know. But I just kept leaping around and being like, I've never been happier than in this moment. You know? Like, remember? And I feel that way thinking about us watching The Good Marriage.
In grad school, I used to constantly say, these are the moments, you guys. It's not some other time. Like, we're happy right now.
Yeah, Molly, these are the moments.
Yeah, these are the
moments. I love you.
Yay.
Tell me you love me back.
Oh, I love you too. Oh my god. Jesus, see, I thought it was implied.
That's what I'd be like to date. How much do you love me?
Oh my god, I love you this much.
All right, back to business. So, yeah, Jared gets out one-on-one. For some reason, their relationship seems like it's healthy and moving forward. I don't really get it, but... that's cool. And then Chris the dentist gets the one-on-one. He gets the helicopter ride.
You can just tell that he's marching towards his death. Number one, because, like, they've been hinting at it with all the teasers before the commercials. Like, they keep teasing this, like, scene of him weeping uncontrollably.
I thought it was Chris Harrison weeping, but it's not Chris the dentist.
So, Chris is just, like, foolhardy, like, oh, our relationship is so strong, and, like, I can see us together, and I'm so happy, and, like, I don't see this coming at all.
And he is also, like, he's somebody else who sort of backed himself into a corner of one dimensionality where
he's
like,
so cheesy.
It's all dentist stuff or his like weird sneak attack of singing. Like,
I am Aladdin.
Yeah.
I would pull a tooth to get a rose tonight. Yeah. Like, he's just filled with these silly one-liners.
Yeah, exactly. So, that was one.
Keep talking. I'm gonna get some ice.
Oh, now you're leaving me. I see
how
what's
does
happening
it feel?
Here.
Just carry the
show. Will you get me some too?
Yeah.
It's so warm in here, you guys. Oh my goodness. But so that was one of the amazing things about watching the scene with Chris at the get dunked when I was at Moe's in Langley was that was this moment of hyper identification and horror among the men at the bar where they would watch him weep. And, like, collective sort of like, oh God, no, came up around the bar. And that was when the one guy was like, she's never going to love you if you act like that, man. Women don't want to see you cry. She'll never love you then. And I was like, it gave me hesitation. I wanted to be like, okay, like maybe we should turn it off for a minute. Like, while you collect yourself. But it was sad. And then there's something so kind of hilarious about the premise of leaving when she takes off in a helicopter and leaves them behind. It was sort of like when Chris Soules left them in the desert.
The two of them in the desert. Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that it sort of revealed like a dark element that I've seen come up in men when they watch this show. Because, I mean, there was the juxtaposition of the dentist, like, open weeping, and Caitlin, like, looking out the helicopter window with, like, a semi-sad expression, but I mean, she's certainly not weeping, you know? And I don't know, I've seen men watch this show, and it just brings out, like, this deep-seated, like, women-hating resentment, like, oh God, like, all these bitches are just breaking hearts, like,
yeah.
You know, my friend, the heart, he, you know, Will.
Your friend? Does Will listen to this show?
When he watches this show, he goes to a dark place sometimes.
No, but like, does he listen to our podcast?
I don't know if he does. But he's just like, fucking, oh, bitches, man. Like, he just, like, goes to a dark place of, like, oh, they're, like, oh, they just, like, break your heart. Like, like, they just, like, they lose their shit. Like, it pulls up. I don't know. Straight men in this culture perceive that they're sort of like, they're running scared because of like feminism is having a real boon and like it's becoming like a real vocalization of like our power and like our, you know, strength and our like, you know, that we have a right to like reject men, that we don't have to like accept sex and all of those things. And I think that men are just like kind of losing their minds a little bit.
Well, it is like, yeah, it's a weirdness of like, it's like 25 guys go into this situation. And yet all of them seem to have this sense that if they get to know her at all, that she will clearly want them, you know, as opposed to recognizing that, like, it is not enough just to tell someone, like, hey, I like you. Like, they have to like you in return, yeah, actively. Yeah. And I feel like I've dated people like that before where it was, like, they would keep, you know, inserting themselves into, you know, presenting themselves like, you know, well, here I am, like, clearly, like, I would try to break up with them, and then they would be like, you don't want to do that. Like, I know you don't want to do that.
I bought you dinner. I don't understand.
Yeah, it's just a weird thing, and I think it was a really, really difficult time, not, you know, to be really earnest, it was a really difficult time in my 20s because I had a really hard time asserting myself, and I still am more, you know, I have a hard time being aggressive, and I tend towards passivity and people-pleasing, so.
I remember when I broke up with a pretty nice guy once, and he said, like, I think you just, like, don't know how to, like, let nice things happen to you, or like, you don't know how to, like, accept love, and I was like, yeah, that's it. Like, we'll go with that. Like, I'm not a monster, and I'll be like, no, it's just you.
Why don't you want to be happy, Mom? So, where are we at now? Predictions for next time?
Yeah. So the show ends with Chris crying in the Irish countryside. Yeah. So we are kind of already went over it. I'm thinking for next week, Jared, Nick, Ben, H.
So you think he's gonna let Sean go?
I think she's gonna let Sean go. And it's cool. It is sort of like, It's like a wishful hope. It's like in my Oscar prediction when I knew that The Act of Killing wasn't going to win Best Documentary Feature, but I just had to vote for it anyway because, like, I had to put, like, my collective weight into that outcome.
Yeah.
I just really wanted it to happen, and then it was some bullshit movie. But, so that's, I mean, that's why I'm saying Ben H. instead of Sean, but I don't know.
I think my thought would be, my hopeful thought would be that something happens, like, in the next episode where Nick shows his aggressive and shitty little bratty personality, and she lets him go, and then Ben H. gets a shot at the top three.
I would love that.
I mean, but my actual prediction is that Ben H. will be third, Sean and Nick will be the final two, and with hope, she'll ditch
Jared.
Oh, shit. No, my thought was that it would be Jared, Jared, Nick, and Sean. Yeah. My thought is, I don't think Benich is going to make it. I think he's going to be next eliminated, but that's just...
It's possible, and honestly likely, but I don't know. I don't know.
What if she just, like, marries Jared?
She might, you know?
Yeah. I think, I mean, we have both just discounted Joe as going on from here.
Well, because he's not going to. Mm-hmm. That would be crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. So my predictions are that, okay, solid prediction for the money. Joe and Ben H get eliminated next. Uh-huh. And then Jared.
That leaves Jared, Nick, and Sean.
Jared, Nick, and Sean, and then Nick gets eliminated due to some shady behavior, and she picks between Jared and Sean in the end.
I think Jared, Nick, Ben H, Jared gets... See, this is just... Probably Ben H would get eliminated after the fantasy suite. Then it's Jared and Nick, and then she marries, and then Nick. That's what I think.
You think she's going to marry Nick?
I think she's going to end the show with Nick. I don't want that to be the case, but, like, if this were a pool right now and I was putting my money, that's what I would do.
Okay.
I want it to be Ben H. I mean, I'm hoping that he somehow pulls some dark horse shit, and I don't know why. Like, I don't know anything about him. Like, his face, he's got, like, sort of a puffy, pretty face. He reminds me of,
puffy?
Like... Yeah, it's a little puffy. Like, it seems like a little, like, he doesn't really have, like, chiseled cheekbones. Like, Jared does not have a puffy face, right? Like, Jared has, like, the chiseled, like, Nick has sort of a puffy face.
It's not chiseled so much as it is, like, craggy.
Craggy, yes, with sunken cheeks, with scraggly
with
beard.
Sparse, like, patches of...
I think that Jared is, like, traditionally handsome, and we make him sound like he's, like, a rat-faced, like, horror monster.
I don't know.
I agree that his beard leaves something to be desired.
It's just like, if you can't grow a beard,
then don't grow a beard,
you know, but anyhow, so that's all that. What, is there anything else we need to cover about this week?
I'm really excited. I'm excited about the direction the show has taken. I'm really excited about next week. I think it's going to be a good time.
Mm-hmm. I'm really excited. We should watch together this week since we're in
school. I'll be around, right? You'll be around?
Yeah.
All right, Monday night.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. I think I have plans Monday.
You heartbreaker.
I'm sorry.
Last night when you texted me and were like, what's going on tonight? And I was like, nothing. Come hang out. And you were like, oh, I have plans.
I just did that about Monday, too. I did
have plans on Monday. It was even worse this second time. I made a bet, like, last night, I was really just kidding, but, like, I decided to just make her feel bad on text, because, like, I was like, I have the power. So I decided to utilize it, and I was just like, you really disappointed me, and she was like, I'm sorry, and I sent her, like, a cryptic note with, like, emojis, like, it was, like, a tortured emoji poem of, like, a broken heart, like, a knife, like, an image of, like, us doing a fun thing together in a park, like, an X out sign of, like, someone not having fun anymore. Like a rose with like a slash in it, like she was like, Molly, no.
I know. I was like late at night. I was like, Molly.
She was like, please don't be mad at me. And I'm like, you'll have to make it up to me. Like, I really belabored the point. I don't know why I did that to you, Megan, because I seriously was not mad at you for like a minute.
I know. I was like, this is a new Molly, one I've never seen before.
To be a little earnest, sometimes I feel like you're very like, You have other friends that you like not out of obligation, but like you do things because you feel like it's the right thing to do. You want to maintain your other friendships.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I feel like with me, you're just like, Molly doesn't give a shit. Like, you can just hang out with her whenever. But it is true. Like, and I do want to be that. Like, I would never want you to feel like, want you to hang out with me because you're obligated.
No, I don't, but I also feel like we do a lot of our best hanging out, like, just, like, chilling when, you know, like...
So you don't want to be seen with me in public, necessarily. Like, best hanging out in the confines in of our own home alone.
With the shades drawn.
Yeah.
No, I know. You know what I mean. You know.
I don't know. I'm going to need an emoji poem to feel better about
this.
I'll write
you an emoji poem. All right. Bring us up to date about all your happenings right now.
I don't have. Oh,
Yeah, you do. You have lots of stuff out.
What's that called? Moonsick Magazine? Is that right?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm in it. I don't remember the name of it. It's a journal all for women. It's pretty edgy and cool. It's called Moonsick Magazine, and I have a piece out called O Canada. If you search O Canada, Molly Leitch, you'll find it, or moonsickmagazine.com.
I did some copy edits.
Yeah, she did. She made some. She killed a lot of my darlings, and I agreed with like 75% of them. A few I had to keep, but I mean, I needed it. I needed a stern hand on that piece. There's a lot of like, and here's my feelings on it. And she's like implied.
Duh. So yeah, you have that. What else?
Mollish.com/hatesfilm.com.
Sweet. Yeah, you can still buy my novel, Call Me Home, which I will now be rewriting from several outside characters' perspective, verbatim, a chapter fresh by take. Chapter. From the guy who lives down the street.
It's like the Star Wars franchise where they're like, don't you guys want to know about like Anakin Skywalker's like childhood in minute detail in films? It's like, no, we don't. God.
Yeah.
No, but your Call Me Home reboot will be good.
thanks. I'll read some Perfect Letter this week so that you guys can get a little bit of
the Perfect Letter, a novel by Chris Harris.
Yeah. And then, I'm teaching a class for One Room, which is a new synchronous platform, sort of video workshopping. I'm teaching a class on next level fiction techniques. That doesn't run till September, but you can do it from your
next level. Mean?
I mean, well, I think
like taking it to the next level.
Yeah, like in my mind it's about like how to create this special like magic when you read something where something is happening that you can't quite figure out how the writer does it on the page.
Oh, neat.
Like things like emotionally resonant details and repetition, like subtle repetition.
Cool.
Using coming back to something like three times.
The rule of threes.
Yeah. So I'll be teaching that. It's 3 hours online if anybody's interested. You can go to my website, www.megannicolecruz.com. I also have an interview coming out in the Rumpus really soon, which I'm super excited about.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, with Carter Sickles, my dear friend. So, anyway.
Rumpus.net, is that right?
Yeah, but I'll let you guys know on it. Not yet.
Okay.
I'm just getting excited. But anyway, have a happy 4th of July,
everyone.
I've been
telling you, and you've been ignoring me, but maybe if I put a stern tone in my voice and get a little lilted like this, get a little bitchy about it. Now I feel like there's no way. Now whatever I ask them, they're going to be like, fuck you.
Wait, what were you?
No, I was going to say that it would be really helpful if you guys would please rate our show.
Oh, has anybody
begging.
Rated it?
I did.
I
gave it 5 stars and I wrote a review that was like, this Molly girl, there's just something about her. Like,
did you include me at all?
I think I mentioned you. Yeah.
This Molly girl and her dowdy sidekick.
I really like Molly's straight talk and flat delivery and that girl that sounds like a baby with her sweet, breathy voice. Is all right as well. I think you're so cute. More when you've had a lot of water, like you get to, and you're sleepy, like you're like, hi, oh, thanks for having me. You get real cute.
Oh, thanks.
I think I mentioned all of that in the review. But anyway, just fucking rate us 5 stars. If you've listened this far, you have a duty. And I also want to just, maybe, Megan, I don't know if I told, like, just post it on your Facebook. Like, just ask your people to just, like, rate it 5 stars. They don't have to actually listen.
Oh,
all we
okay.
need is, like, people to rate it. And the more rates we get, the more it will be searchable.
Oh, okay. I'll do that.
It'll break out.
I'm not above that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that goes to all of you as well. I didn't mean to be bitchy about it.
Okay, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on After the Rose podcast. It's Megan Cruz and Molly Leitch. Molly's website is doghatesfilm.com. And
wrap it up. Goodbye.
Don't blow your fingers off tonight with the fireworks. Yeah. Be careful. Be safe.
Bye.
We love you.
Bye.